Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Drunk Women Solving
is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Well, she's not as much of a liar as I am, but...
I look terrible in hats, though, so it's a real dilemma.
And me too, if what I said was stupid.
Female workplace.
Yay.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. We are joined by our fantastic guest, author, comedian, podcaster and influencer, it's Oenone Forbath. Welcome, Oenone.
Wow, thank you. Lovely welcome.
How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Don't really have anything else to add.
Okay. You know, you panic because someone
that's the only one. Like, don't know. I haven't thought about that. Today.
No further questions, Your Honour.
Thank you. How are you guys?
We are good. We are good. We don't need to do small talk because we have big questions on this podcast. One question in particular we have to ask: have you ever been the victim of a crime?
So I think it was maybe almost 2 years ago now. I was a victim of an almost crime.
Ooh.
Mm. So I was coming back from netball, as you do, and these little boys in the park were like, oh, miss, my phone's died and I need to ring my mum and I'm really worried. And I was thinking, okay. I was like, well, if you give me her number, I'll ring her, but I'm not going to pass you my phone.
Yeah.
And then they tried to snatch it off me. And then I snatched it back and I went, piss off. And then I ran home.
You ran or they ran?
I ran home with my phone. And then I was so embarrassed about, like, what? A, why did I say piss off? I think something. And it was like, they're too young. Like, even though they're trying to rob me, they are like 11, so I shouldn't go in like hard. But it was just so comical the way I like grabbed it and ran. It was really like kind of thing Phoebe would do in Friends. And then like my phone is so smashed. And I was thinking, actually, it is insured, so maybe it would probably have been better if I just let them steal it and then claim it, because then I would have got a new phone. But anyway, so that was my almost crime.
Yeah.
Did you think of turning around and being like, actually, go for it?
Well, then I got all this, you know, this like white guilt that you start getting, or like posh women guilt. I'm like, should I have let them have the phone? Like, maybe they really need the phone. I'm like, it's insured. I could get another phone. That was mostly what was happening to me after the crime.
Whoa,
yeah.
That guilt.
I sort of feel like it was kind of maybe a nice way to have got mugged. In the sense that they didn't kind of come at you on a scooter.
Yes.
They were kind of like, there was a little bit of, you know, a little bit of theatre.
They were good at acting, I have to say. Like, one of them was pretending to shake. It was pretty good. And then they were like, oh, damn it. It's just the funny thing as well that they could just tell that I was an easy target. They knew.
And also, I like that you were like just coming from netball, because you would have been all sporty and trainers and you could run fast.
Yes.
Like,
if you could run faster. Not necessarily the quickest.
But I like
that
they had a whole story planned, but they're like, and if it doesn't work, do we just grab it?
Yeah. I know. Well, I obviously knew, because it is weird that I didn't give it to them. I could obviously felt like something was shifted, but I don't really know what I thought. And then I really wanted to tell my friends, but I'm really shaken up, but obviously I wasn't, because it was like, in hindsight, these three tiny little, like, 11-year-old boys who...
You're still always going to be a bit shaken up, because that's a weird interaction.
Yeah. Well, my mum always says when she used to get mugged back in the day, she'd be like, oh, I'd just grab it off them and I'd stick them at hearts with a hat pin. And she was like, always carry a hat pin with you. And I'm like, because people have hat pins. Or spray them. She's like, bring a mini deodorant, spray them. My mum has so many stories of like her almost being mugged, but she beats them up. It's obviously not true. It's like, definitely, she's just made this up for a fact. But
does she have form on that? Is she like a bit of a liar? Or like, do you think
anyone? She's not as much of a liar as I am, but...
There were no boys, were there?
It's an exaggeration. I don't know. It's difficult to say. Yeah.
I thought she had a hat pin. That feels like... Is your mum a Victorian woman?
I don't know. She always... You say to me, I always carry a hat pin. I'm like, who the hell has... You don't even have a hat pin.
You couldn't explain that to the police if they were like, do you have an offensive like weapon on you? And you're like, oh, a hat pin. Like, you're not wearing a hat.
Does that get through at airports? Like,
yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't... that was a good question, actually. I don't know.
Pre-9/11? Yes. Post? Not so much.
Actually, that's true. Yeah.
Not allowed anything anymore.
I love the idea of a hat pin. I look terrible in hats, though. So it's a real dilemma.
But it's also like the kind of hats we wear now, be like having a hat pin and a beanie. I don't know if it's not going to work. Not quite the same vibe.
Oh, man. We always ask as well, if you had the perps in custody now, what would you say to them?
It's called detention for them, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I'd say, like, pick women like me, because you don't want them to get in trouble, do they?
Okay.
Like, don't pick a man, because what if they try and punch them? Mostly I just felt bad for them, to be honest.
Yeah.
They're quite sweet.
They need
I think it's fine.
They need
a little bit of robbery, you know, it's
You'd be
okay.
Like, where are you going to secondary next year?
they need some kind of program to like channel their entrepreneurial.
Yeah. It was really clever. Or maybe like a drama class.
Yeah, right. They could harness their skills.
Yeah.
Transferable skills in a life outside of crime.
Yeah.
They just need a yes and.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah, they need to join an improv troupe.
That is it. That is the solution.
We shouldn't be sending people to prison. We should be sending the upright citizens to prison.
Okay, somebody needs
to
do that.
Can we get a suggestion of a weapon?
What position do you play, netball?
Well, just so you know, we were the recreational team that were the worst in the league. So I would be centre because I was like the one that would be okay to run around. But we pretty much just weren't doing anything right. Like, none of us really knew the positions or any of the rules. So the referee would just hate us and just constantly the whistle was just going the whole time. Wow. We'd be dropping the ball. We'd be like laughing, chatting. She'd be like, stop. one of us always hadn't like filed our nails down. I've got about 50 earrings. It took about half an hour before we even started playing. So we did, we came so far down the bottom of the league, we didn't actually like start playing again. I'm thinking maybe I might do football instead. Because netball's really technical. There's too many rules.
Yes, yeah,
it is. I still don't understand it.
I don't.
For the US listeners, it's like basketball, but it's weird.
There's more rules, yeah.
There's more rules. You can pass in a different way, so that
you're not allowed to dribble as well. Like, as soon as you get the ball.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining, like, getting the phone back and having to go like that.
You can't move with the ball.
No, you have to stay on one foot and do the pivot thing.
Yeah.
I recently watched Gaelic football. Weirdly similar to netball.
Oh.
Yes. There's like some of the pivoting. There's the like, if you land on that foot, you stay on that foot.
Right.
There's Gaelic football?
Yes. God. Famously, Paul Mezcal plays.
I am devastated to have to cut off the Gaelic football.
No, you should. You really should.
Because it is a great sport.
But we have some very fine players.
We
To describe Paul Mezcal's legs. Yes.
We'll get back to that at the end if there's time.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Now, I'm going to start this case a bit light because it's quite a horrible case.
Yay!
So my first question is, which star sign do you think is most likely to become a serial killer?
Fun!
I think I used to know this.
I want to say Gemini.
Gemini?
But then also probably Pisces men, because I'm a Pisces woman. I don't think we would do that.
My daughter's a Gemini, so I just froze.
Sorry, no, but only one side of her is a sociopath. That's the important thing to remember.
Yeah, but which side are we nurturing? We can't tell yet.
You know what? It could
Sagittarius.
Be... Sagittarius?
She's writing it down, so it's not right. It cannot be correct.
What's the one with the water? Aquarius.
I'm Aquarius. What the fuck is that?
Isn't it Aquarius season now?
It is. It's the age.
Yeah.
It's my age, guys. It's just my age.
Does each one have a season?
Well, it's like, it's I'm going to change it. So we just have Pisces.
Can I change to Virgo, please?
I get you.
So not Sagittarius.
I'm going to go with Virgo.
Okay. But also, can we stipulate that I think it's the men, because the women's star signs are different from the male star signs. I don't believe in any of it, but I'm very clued up about it.
Okay. Cool.
And there are more male serial killers. So yes. That's a fair point.
Like, by so many as well. That we're really not pulling our own in there.
What is it? Sorry. Okay, I was really excited.
You know, none of you said a 12-way tie.
Oh, boy.
Which is also the name of your sex tape. But also, that would have been wrong. So, now there's actually no weird... overall winner, but your answers are represented. So there's four signs. Cancer, Pisces, Sagittarius and Scorpio account for almost 40% of serial killers. Gemini and Taurus combined account for only 11%. Killers born in the sign of Capricorn accounted for more victims in total.
Oh, Capricorn's a victim.
Scrappy. Any other sign? Oh, combined... I think... No, maybe it's Capricorn that killed...
I'm trying so hard not to look at the sheet. I'm going to really feel myself wanting to cheat. Stop.
Oh, no, sorry. Capricorn had more victims each. So they would kill more people.
They were more prolific.
Yes, they were more prolific.
Okay.
They were better at it, basically.
So, yeah. They killed more than 800 people, or 19 on average. The lowest average was for Virgo killers with 7 victims each.
That's still quite a lot of victims. I suppose it's a serial that has to be more than one, doesn't it? I guess.
Yes, I think it has to be like more than. Is it more than 3 or something?
Do you know, we all get,
I've
got a little quote at the end where some guy argues about that.
How do Aquarians do at all this?
You are not mentioned as high or low, but Jeffrey Dahmer and Sam Berkowitz, the son of Sam Guy, are both Geminis. Oh. And Capricorn killers, as we've said, are the most deadly, and Virgos are the least deadly serial killers.
Wow, it's so weird that I went to Virgo.
Oh, great.
And Virgos are known as the peaceful ones, so I should have known that.
So the serial killer that we'll be talking about today is a Taurus, born May 16th.
Goes well with Leo.
And it is a he, as we've discussed. Feminism really needs to girl boss the killing situation. So he confessed to killing 27 people, but there is speculation...
Capricorn!
There is speculation this figure could be as high as 133 to 200 people. So question, how do we know that his confession of 27 is not entirely accurate?
More bodies than he said?
Okay.
Or did he die halfway through his confession? He was like, and another...
Because don't they love when they get caught, finally, they're like, okay,
do you want to see my medal?
I'll tell you, yeah.
My trophies.
Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't very good at counting. Not a strong mathematician.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
He forgot to say times 10.
Some of the people that he said he had killed were verifiably still alive.
Oh.
So this guy's a bit of a liar, but he definitely killed a lot of people.
I misunderstood your question. Okay.
Me too, maybe.
Okay.
And me too, if what I said was stupid.
I thought he's killed like way more, not the other way around.
Yes, yeah. I did. Well, he actually probably has killed way more, but some of the ones that he said he killed, he didn't kill.
They were still alive.
So he's hasn't confessed to all of them, but he's also lied about what he's done.
Right.
While still having killed many people.
Wow. Maybe he's got that facial blindness thing, so he thinks he's killed that person, but it's actually someone else.
Or he's like, I meant their spirit.
We'll guess the year in a second. I'll give you a little bit more context. This guy is a con artist. He's also a doctor.
Oh, great.
I know. He sometimes sold stolen cadavers to medical schools.
Oh, okay.
And he committed a lot of crimes, including but not limited to insurance fraud, forgery, swindling. He had 3 to 4 bigamous illegal marriages, horse theft.
Oh, God, that's disgusting. And... Stole a horse?
What? I was with him until then.
Yeah.
Bigamy with a horse.
Outrageous. And of course, obviously, we've got the murders. Now, he supposedly killed a lot of these people in what gets dubbed his murder castle in Chicago. And I'll give you an extra clue. A lot of the people passing through Chicago were there for a special event. So, question, what year is this? What year can a man become a doctor while side hustling corpse sales?
Oh, well, I feel like I know what the thing was in Chicago.
Okay.
If people are going to it. I mean, I could say it or we could have...
Yeah.
So I think it's the Chicago World's Fair because that is a big
ding,
thing.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes, that was happening at the time. But this is what... So I think it was like 1852...
Oh, wait, so you think the Chicago World's Fair is in 1852?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I knew the thing, but I didn't know the thing
you
when the thing was.
You are not correct about the year.
Okay.
I don't know much. Can you tell me, sorry, is that really stupid? Tell me about the Chicago World's Fair.
Literally, I only know about it because of this podcast.
Okay.
Because loads of different crimes kind of came off it. But it's just like a kind of... It was like a sort of
trade
fair.
But like also entertainment fair and everything, like industry and everything. Anyone trying to sell anything is there...
It's like a Comic Con. It was the first Comic Con.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it was later than that, but I think it was 1800s. 1898.
You are very close. Do you want to guess?
Okay.
Oh, gosh. 1899.
That's the way to play.
That is a good way to play. Unfortunately, Taylor is the closest.
Oh, was it down? It was down from her.
Yeah, so the World's Fair was in 1893.
Okay.
And much of these murders are in the 1890s in the lead up and all around. So our perp is H.H. Holmes. He's born in 1861. Herman Webster Mudgett.
Is that the year you guessed? 1861?
1852, I think.
Never mind.
Thank you, though, for trying to get me a little summit. That's really kind.
And I'll help you later as well.
Thank you so much.
Female workplace. Yay. So he goes by Dr. Henry Howard Holmes or H.H. Holmes. But how did we get here? How does a guy become a murderer? And it is a shame because it started pretty good for little old H.H. Holmes. He was born to a nice little Methodist family. He's the third child. They're descended from English settlers, which actually are the worst.
Wow.
I could say that because I'm secretly Irish and Norwegian, but also still English. So they're farmers. His dad sometimes was a house painter, trader and stuff. And H.H. Holmes is super smart. He graduates high school with honours at just 16 years old. And the world should have been his oyster, but there was trouble in paradise. So my next question is, what about this picture is not what it seems? What was going wrong behind the scenes?
Were they not English?
Were they murder farmers?
Murder farmers? Nice. Yeah. Okay. Any advice on murder farmers?
What are you growing here? Murder.
Crop is good this year.
Gosh. So many things.
Yeah, what can lead someone to become a murderer?
Somebody makes fun of his pants.
Yeah.
His farmer pants.
I mean, I don't know. How much of being a murderer is nature-nurture?
We will absolutely answer that question in a moment.
Okay.
Depends on your star sign.
I know, it's so true. Well, he was born like this, so I don't...
The planet's fault.
What was it?
I don't want to... Like, where's... I don't want to go dark. Where's parents being mean to him?
Where's parents? I said very quietly, where's parents being mean to him? Did they not praise him for his early graduation? No graduation gift.
Also, like, I thought we finished high school at 16 anyway. Is that not what happens?
Well, 18. It's usually 17.
Okay. Oh, wow.
A whole year.
I suppose you do sick form, don't you? But to me, sick form was different to high school.
Was it not? Did they not have separate college? No, maybe it was just school.
Yeah.
Americans get their high school diploma at 18, don't they?
Oh, sorry. I forgot that he was American.
Okay.
17 or 18.
Okay.
Depending how smart you are.
Still not 16. Yeah, we leave school at 16 and then go to college. Yeah.
I was 12. Okay, did you want to add anything, Hannah?
I said something stupid at the beginning, didn't I? So I will give you a sensible answer, which is that maybe he was kidnapped and he was never their child.
Okay, it's out there and I like that. I'm afraid it's not right.
Okay.
Oenone is the closest. So his dad was a heavy drinker who cruelly mistreated his family.
Oh.
And that is obviously a red flag, bad indicator. And secondly, Holmes was really badly bullied by his classmates because of his outstanding academic abilities.
Oh.
Because people hate being made to feel dumb by nerds.
And his family.
So he has got some adverse childhood experiences and they're stacking up. But the classmates, to your question, nature nurture, the classmates did quite a few terrible things to him, but one in particular stands out. So question, what might the classmates have done that, I mean, it doesn't have to be horrible, it could just be weird, like...
Oh, just trying to think what was done to me at school. Just
All I can think about is either wedging or kegging, which I don't know if that's different names in different schools, you know, when you pull Thomas Tracy. It was always like that they're pulling knickers up. Oh, they're taking your trousers down.
Right. Yeah. There's no in between.
There's nothing else.
In
to
Bully
be done.
Town.
And kegging is pulling them
kegging
down.
Kegging was pulling them down. I used to have an all, especially when you're in a gym kit, everyone just run past and like pull everyone's trousers down. Like,
that's a great expression, to be fair. Kegging.
Yeah.
I don't know what the etymology of that is, but.
Yeah. Etymology.
Well, I couldn't say. A smarter man than me, Holmes would know.
We had a thing in our school which was called... Is this a thing that's just... Because you never know, do you?
No,
whether it's just your school or... Which is called granddadding?
No, that's just your school. That sounds weird. What is that? I'm not sure.
So it's like nervous. If you're stood up and then somebody sticks their knee in the middle
of
your knee.
My mum used to do that to me, but we didn't call it that. She always used to do it and I said she found it really funny. And then you fall down. My mum wasn't.
Are you serious?
I did that to my brother once and then I was like, well, that was stupid because he fell on me and he was bigger than me, so I got hurt.
It's funny because it makes you like weak at the knees. Like you don't always have to fully fall. Maybe that was mean.
All right, so we've got kegging, granddadding, and oh golly, did they? I feel like at that time bullying would have been more severe in a way. Did they like give him arsenic?
Okay,
they poison
nice.
Him.
Oh wow.
It's a different time. I can't. None of you have quite got it. What they did. So there's an incident that's recorded that may or not have had an effect on the rest of his life. He was forced to stand in front of a human skeleton and put the skeleton's hands on his face in an effort to frighten him. Initially terrified, Holmes later discovered the experience to be intriguing and claimed that it helped him overcome his worries. Holmes subsequently developed an obsession with death as a result of the encounter and later took up the pastime of dissecting animals.
I think that's pretty victim blaming on his friends. I don't think you could be like, I made this guy touch a skeleton to his face and now obviously he's going to be a serial killer.
Okay.
I think he must have had that proclivity before.
Okay.
Surely. Yeah.
So in the nature nurture thing,
I think he was
born a killer.
And that's a big thing with serial killers is starting on animals.
Yeah.
I did do dissection in school.
Yeah, but they made you.
This is more about defending your choices.
That's actually just a test that they put in place. They're like, now do you want to take a human? Congratulations.
Oh, I remember people in triple science got to do that.
Yeah.
But I didn't do enough science to get to the dissection.
And also it's weird because I think when you are a teen, I remember thinking it was quite cool, whereas now I would be like, oh, I can do that. Whereas I remember dissecting a frog and there being loads of like bugs in its stomach and we went, this is amazing.
Wow.
We had to do a... Never mind.
you have to do?
A human finger.
I dissected a cat.
Her body fell down.
No, that can't be legal, surely.
That was pregnant.
What?
And a fetal pig.
How did they kill the cat? But the pig, because it's like we would eat a pig. Cat feels so wrong.
I don't know. I didn't have like the backstory.
Do you know how it died? Oh my God, are you okay?
I'm not. Did you see how I delivered that? I'm like, pregnant.
That's quite traumatizing.
Well, the worst thing was the teacher like did like Mr. Burns hands and hadn't told us that it was pregnant. And she's like, surprise.
Oh yeah, my God.
And I kill people now. So this is starting to make sense. Sorry. That's
how old were you?
I was in high school.
Did you cry? 15? Or were you, at the time, were you kind of okay with it? And it's only in hindsight.
I pretended I was okay with it, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, it was really like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Wow.
I know.
I got granddadded though, guys.
Yeah, that's true.
She buckled at the knees, guys.
We have so many animal lovers to listen to this.
I know, I'm so sorry.
Hey, we're all animal lovers.
It was
in front of you. It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
That's, you know, like the education board is not that different to the bullies. Exactly. We're discovering now.
We've gone from bullying to science.
So he goes to medical school, Michigan. He graduates, 2-year course. He's not grossed out by anything. This is also when he starts engaging in grave robbing with his professor. This guy, William James Herdman, who was the chief anatomy instructor, and it was mainly to supply medical cadavers for dissection practice.
I'm pretty sure that science teacher I just talked about would have done that with me if I'd asked her.
Let's go.
And he later admitted to doing something else with the cadavers. Question.
Oh, no. It's not what we're all thinking.
It doesn't have to be dark.
It could be anything.
It feels like anything you do with a dead body is not fucking cool. Dark. Yeah.
Just dress it up a little bit. Put like boas on it.
Okay, dress it up with bows.
Practice his makeup techniques.
Practice his makeup.
Sculpting. I'm like, he's having sex with them, isn't he? I just can't.
Okay, we have necrophilia.
it's where we all went.
What else would you do?
What else is there to do? I mean, dress him up and shag him. I don't know what.
It's just a Friday night. Oh,
Susan, that contour.
I'll give you a clue. It's to do with the list of crimes I said at the beginning.
Oh, does he claims life insurance on?
Yes. So when he...
After he fucks up.
Yeah. Everybody gets the point. We don't know that he didn't fuck them.
Of course I did. It's my wife. It's her policy.
So when he was later suspected of murder and he claimed to be nothing but insurance fraud, so he admitted to using cadavers to defraud insurance companies several times in college. Ah, college.
Oh, we all did stuff in college.
Crazy years. So 1886, he moves to Chicago. He starts going by H.H. Holmes. He gets a job in a drugstore employed by one Elizabeth Holton. He works hard. He eventually buys the store. And then he also buys a space across the street, this other building. And that's going to be another drugstore with apartments above. But he starts to not pay people for doing work on the property.
Sounds like a comedy promoter, am I right?
So like the architects and the steel company, Tanner and Steel, they took him to court in 1888. That now, also, there is a lot of misinformation about this case because it's bonkers. And when the later stuff starts to happen, the newspapers and everyone go absolutely mad. Mm. So it's like this feeding frenzy. So it's...
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Slightly difficult, and also he's such a liar as well. It's slightly difficult to know what is actually true and what isn't. But he adds...
For the purposes of this podcast, it's all true.
Yes, go. All true. So I think officially... Well, he says he didn't kill that lady's husband, that Elizabeth lady that gave him a job. But some of the records say that he did. He adds another level to his what's going to become his murder house in 1892. And he tells investors it's going to be a hotel for the World's Exhibition with three floors.
Physically another level.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. He's just expanding his repertoire.
Because he keeps not paying people, so work keeps being stalled. And
right.
It's weird, because if you... keep starting and stopping, and then you've got a different person. It's like the house starts to look very strange.
Yeah, you're going to have a very incongruous murder castle.
Kevin MacLeod would hate it.
Have you come in under budget?
I'm a purist.
Yeah. I love how much he hates stuff, though.
I know, he's so rude to us all.
I know. That's why I watch it. Like, George Clark, everything's amazing. And I'm just like, oh, not everything can be amazing. But like Kevin MacLeod's like, I think this is shit and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, you ruined it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, back to the murder house.
No, it's all good. So it's like, oh, it's just going to be a nice hotel. Or is it a murder house? Da, da, da. But when all the sensational reporting started, they were saying that he's built this hotel to lure tourists visiting the exposition to kill them and sell their skeletons to medical schools. And then he's like, no, like, that's not what he was doing. Because obviously by this point he had this history of selling stolen cadavers to medical schools, but he's like, guys, you know, I get my corpses from digging them up. Like, don't be gross. So that's like the one thing that he like doesn't admit to. Also, technically, there is no evidence that he murdered these exposition goers. So the papers said that there were, trapdoors and torture chambers and all these things in this hotel. This was very sensationalised. And they said it was laid out like a maze, all these doors opening into brick walls and windowless rooms and dead-end staircases. But in reality, it was moderately sized.
It was like a travel lodge.
Yeah. And
they're like real estate agents. They're just trying to make it sound like, more
beautifully presented, spacious brick wall.
But, lovingly crafted trapdoors. It is state-of-the-art gas chamber.
The thing is, but the reason like some of these doors entered, you know, into brick walls and then none of it made sense was because of all these disputes with the builders. It just ended in nothing because he hadn't finished that bit because everyone had got fed up with him. So question, what were the hidden rooms used for?
Oh, was it really? I mean...
So there are hidden rooms and they are used for something, but it's not as sensational as everyone's saying. So what are these hidden rooms used for?
Oh, is it just like storage?
Storage?
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he was just a keen wine collector.
Keen wine collector.
Yeah.
Love it.
Keeping all those hat pins.
Was it his man cave?
So what it is, yeah, actually, you know what? Storage, you get it.
Yes.
They were used for hiding furniture that he bought on credit and did not intend to pay for.
That's such a... What? And also, we don't know if he's... So he's got this fake hotel where he supposedly kills all the people that come and then he sells their bodies on.
Yeah. So... this case is so weird too, because it's really where like quite nasty stuff that I'm going to tell you about in a minute meets quite banal stuff and just incompetence. So he does build this hotel. He does want to rent it out to people. He wants to make money from people visiting the trade fair thing. But he is so bad at doing that in a smooth way. And he also is killing people.
But is he also working full time as the doctor? I mean, he's got burnout.
He really does.
It's a lot to be doing.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
If you're a full-time doctor and a hotel manager, I mean, running a freelance business alongside.
Yeah, he's taken on too much.
He hasn't even got a wife, as far as we know, so she's not picking up the slack.
He's gone through, he gets through a few wives. Because this case was quite long, I've sort of cut loads of it.
Yeah, is anyone checking in on him?
I agree, poor guy.
Yeah.
He's doing his best.
I think he travels back and forth a little bit, so he's got all little... irons in different pies, fists in different pies. What do we call that?
What was that?
Fingers in pies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Because it's right.
Yeah. So So he's just a bit of a... Anyway. Now, when a guy... See, I did sort of cut this down, but I may have cut it so much it no longer makes sense in a chronological order. But when a guy's done as many crimes as this and killed as many people as this, we just don't have time to do the twists and turns with any kind of finesse or nuance. So he killed his mistress, Julia Smythe. They'd had an affair and her husband had moved away, and he changes his story about where she is. So first he says that she's visiting a sick sister, and then he says that she died during an abortion.
Oh,
yeah. Gosh. Murder number two, 23-year-old Emmeline Seagrand. She began working in his building in May 1892, and she worked for him for 6 months, and she was hired as a secretary. They had an affair, she lost interest, and she was last seen in December 1892, and her empty luggage trunk was sent back to her mother in Anderson, Indiana. But then later, her skeleton was found by police at the home of a Chicago physician with this guy, M.G. Chappell, who admitted to having taken three skeletons from homes.
Oh, right. So he did sell it on.
Yeah.
With stuff like this, it's kind of like, how much of it is legend and how much of it is... Because part of me was thinking, like, you know, is it just all legend? But it sounds as though very much
Have found some...
Yes. Yeah. So that, but also, loads
Why
of this
Why would you send the empty trunk home to the parents?
It's weird, right? Oh, well, we'll get there. But there's loads of stuff and there's loads of bits of bodies found in various trunks and in around the house and in other places connected to him. But they actually... It's very difficult to pin anything on him. I thought that if I whizzed through
the victims,
that would be.
Yeah, I mean, we get the picture.
Actually,
they're all dead.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's still horrible, even if you do it quickly.
Can I ask a question? Maybe this comes up. Sorry, I might be running format. But when did people start to become suspicious of him? Was this later?
That's a great question, and I will be able to answer it momentarily.
Thank you.
So I will have to tell you about this one, even though it might be nicer to stop talking about every single one. This 24-year-old actress, Wilmina Minnie Williams, she moved to Chicago, got a job at his hotel. She was a stenographer doing shorthand. Holmes persuaded her to transfer the deed of her property in Texas to a man named Alexander Bond, which was an alias of Holmes. And then this gets passed over. So he has a partner, which we will come to, called... I knew I was going to have to say this, and I still haven't worked out how. Pitezel. P-I-T-E-Z-E-L.
I don't know.
Pitezel.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, cool. So they pretend to be husband and wife so they can do... It's basically, everyone's colluding in a scam, or at least they think they're all, you know, going to get paid. And then this lady is never seen again. All of these suspected murders were unproven. There's all these creditors chasing him. Nothing seems to stick to him. Every time somebody sues him, he gets away. And there's other women that worked for him have gone missing as well. And also visitors to the hotel insured their lives with him and have gone missing.
How do you just insure a life with, with someone?
I'm not quite. I think maybe he has some kind of qualification to do it.
Right.
Because he's obviously got all this insurance background as well.
Wow.
But
I do that when I stay at the Premier Inn. I'm like, would you like to insure my life?
But it does seem to be a thing that loads of cases
with
we've done where people are changing their wills at hotels, or at least...
There's a lot of crazy insurance and will stuff in the past. No one had thought through, like, what could possibly go wrong with the way this system works?
Yeah, I'll trust a stranger with this.
Insurance.
Go to sleep and be vulnerable in their, in their property. Yeah.
Well, and that all these women can disappear and everybody's like...
I suppose he's picked quite a transient place where there is more like mobility and people are moving around and you don't necessarily know your neighbours. Because I think at this time there were places where you wouldn't be able to get away with this for as long as he did. Because people are like, no, what? We know her and she hasn't written to me and blah, blah, blah. And they'd crack down sooner maybe.
Well, I'm interested because how good was it? How did they work out whose bones it was? Like skeleton? Because they don't have the same like technology we would have now.
Don't have the same.
That is really interesting that they'd be able to. You'd think you just kind of back in the day you could just bury a body and within a couple of weeks it'd be like, oh, well, we don't know who that is.
Yeah.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah. I don't know if it was teeth or it was something else. Anyway, okay, question. How many people did Holmes go down for killing?
Well, did you say at the beginning?
He said 27, but then some of them were alive.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say zero to be radical.
Whoa.
But then I changed my mind. 12.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like maybe in terms of, because you're right, the burden of proof to prove that he'd done it, even if he confesses, I don't know if a confession, is a confession enough to... Do you also need evidence as well as a confession? Because people confess to things... Yeah. We're not real detectives.
But that was always gets people in those BBC dramas that was doing like a fake confession and they got sent down and then they bring out the case again, you know?
Yeah.
There's no evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
Again. Although there are cases where they're like, case closed. Mm. So it depends how corrupt.
And when people have fudged the DNA on purpose and planted stuff.
Or they just want it, like the police, like, let's just get rid of this guy.
They want to close a case.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Four?
Okay, four, 12, and...
Okay, maybe I'll go the other way just to spice things up and maybe they found more. So I'm going to say 32.
Ooh. Okay. The correct answer is one.
Oh. You should have said none, even though that wouldn't have actually made any sense.
Yeah, he went down, you've killed no one. 100 years ago.
He just seems sketchy. We finally decided.
It's like Al Capone. You only need to... If you can definitely get somebody, you can just stop chasing everything and just focus on that one.
Which one was it?
So it's Pitezel. He double-crosses his partner. So this guy was his business partner, and he was a carpenter with a criminal past. And they met, and he became Holmes's right-hand man. And a district attorney later described Pitezel as Holmes's tool, his creature.
Ooh.
Which doesn't sound... good.
That's what I call my husband.
Control vibes. So how he gets caught is, finally, he's on the run from insurance companies and he's wanted for arson in 1894 and he leaves Chicago. He goes to a property that he nicked off the Williams actress lady and he was renovating and trying to not pay people again. And he is in and out of prison a little bit, but only for like very short sentences. So he keeps selling mortgage goods in Missouri, but then he gets bailed out. Anyway, so the big one, he comes up with this great scheme to fake a death to collect the insurance. So question, whose death is he going to fake?
Well, I guess the guy, his...
Pitezel.
Yeah, his business partner, I suppose.
Okay, Pitezel.
Yeah, I was going to say. I can't remember who else is in.
Well, ding, 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 you are correct.
Yay, there you go.
All right.
So Pitzel's wife is in on this. Pitzel offers himself up so that his wife can get the £10,000 life insurance policy. But he's supposed to...
It's a bit like the canoe man. Do you remember the canoe man?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that? He was the guy
who... Oh, yes. In Ireland.
Oh, no.
Was it that one?
I don't think it was in Ireland.
What was the canoe man? I'm thinking of this guy. I don't think it has anything to do with the canoe, actually. The one that took the dead dad into the post office to collect his...
I heard about that.
Do you remember? Don't know what it's got to do with the canoe. Nothing.
But this was a guy who went out in a canoe and then his wife said, well, he's died, collect the insurance number, bunny, but he was actually living next door.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So the wife is going to get the £10,000 insurance money. But they've agreed they're all going to split it, basically. And this other guy, this lawyer guy's in on it, this house guy. So Pitzel pretends to be this inventor called B.F. Perry, who gets blown up in a lab experiment. That's the plan.
Wow, solid. That's quite elaborate, isn't it? Quite theatrical.
You feel like he just wants to be an actor, really.
And wouldn't you have to have loads of body parts to splatter for it to be credible?
Yes, you would.
Oh.
And so Holmes is going to find an appropriate cadaver to be the disfigured corpse. But question, what does Holmes do instead?
Just kills him.
Yes.
Wow.
So he kills Pitzel on September 4th, 1894 by knocking him unconscious with chloroform and setting his body on fire with the use of benzene.
Wow, bloody hell.
So quite vicious.
And well, then, he put him to sleep first, guys. Come on.
That was a kindness. Yeah.
A kindness.
Then he lies to the wife and says Pitzel is hiding out in London. He takes the payout. Now, the ordinary police could not track him down. So question, who gets him?
Actual Sherlock Holmes.
He's actual Sherlock Holmes.
Actual Sherlock Holmes comes in.
FBI?
Great guesses. I will give you one clue just because you might be pleased if you do get this. We've done cases about them.
Oh, was it the Pinkertons?
Yeah.
Oh, the Pinkerton Agency.
Yes.
Detective Agency.
They get results. So he's arrested in Boston on November 17th, 1894, after being tracked there from Philadelphia by the private Pinkerton National Detective Agency. Oh. And he was held on an outstanding warrant, actually, for... you won't guess. He was held on a warrant for horse theft in Texas.
If we'd have remembered.
Yeah. I was waiting for the horse.
Yeah,
to be
I've completely forgotten about that. So much has happened. He's done so many terrible things.
He's a busy man.
Yeah, he's busy.
He's busy. Can't quite get the feel of him, though. Is he a sadist? Like, does he enjoy any of this, or is it all money motivated?
But then he is also, again, I'm not trying to make out that he's an altruist, but he is. medical students need cadavers.
That's true.
They really do.
Yeah, there's a needs must situation happening.
It's medical science. Yeah.
He's a farmer.
Unless that is just a really good way of getting rid of the body. Or do you think he is like, I'm going to give these to my medical colleagues?
It's like a weird way of sort of killing two birds with one stone, yeah, isn't it? Because then he gets to keep all the money. But it's weird.
It's weird when, like, surely, like, a big hotel in Chicago would make a bit of money.
Yeah, none of you're bumping into walls all the time.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
It's actually not, like, built properly.
Excuse me, my room has all the furniture in it. I don't understand.
I was like, he does seem to be really bad with money management. He consistently is not paying people.
He's not squirreling away.
No. So the authorities had started to get more suspicious. And he was about to flee the country when the Pinkertons caught up with him. So some more bodies were discovered as well, which also helped to tie it to him because it was in the murder castle. There is still not enough
evidence. Are you picturing Disney World, anybody?
There's not enough evidence that will stick. So, as we've said, they focus on Pitzel. You already know that he's found guilty. So, question, what is his sentence?
Ooh.
So we're talking...
Murder.
Yeah. Is that... Or does he get the... death penalty, is that a thing? I know it's a thing, but like, was that a thing then? Maybe
death penalty. Oh, it sure was, hon.
Maybe death penalty for a murder.
Okay. Death penalty?
Was it in Chicago that he killed... I'm pretending like I know the death penalty laws. I think everybody had the death penalty then anyway. I'm going to say 4 years and he got out on good behavior.
So we have death and we have 4 years.
Yep.
Oh gosh, I really don't... Life. Which could, I guess, by then have been everything. Like 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things.
We've covered it all. One of us is right.
Hannah is right.
Oh.
It is death by hanging.
Oh, wow.
In October 1895. But also, I got some random facts for you now. So following his conviction, he confessed to 27 murders, as we've got the thing. But he
Which
did
is
it...
what the film 27 Dresses was based on. Yeah. Yeah. Just made it more of a rom-com.
I watched that the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
fantastic film.
It's like it's...
So good.
I enjoyed it.
Wait, is that the first...
What?
27 Dresses.
You guys have... Is that the first time you've watched it?
Yeah, I watched it for the first time.
Oh my God. Watch it and meet is... Ugh.
What? I mean, it's good. I did enjoy
Catherine
it.
Catherine Heigl...
Yeah.
She's always a bridesmaid, never the bride.
He's got rocket boobs.
Oh my God, yes. Benny and the Jets.
Yes! Yeah.
Such a good film. Oh,
cool. I've watched that in, I've been like breastfeeding in the night and I'll sometimes watch a film on my phone and I watched that and it was a real kind of like, couldn't sleep afterwards.
So good.
I was like, oh, lovely.
So he does this confession, but he does it for money. He's paid $7,500 by the newspapers in exchange for his confession. He cannot be trusted, basically. So
neither can the newspapers.
So wait, they're paying him that for him to get killed?
Well, yeah, like, this, like, what is he going to spend that on? He's got, like, days to live. Like,
it's a good point. Maybe people maybe do it for notoriety. Maybe he wants, he's like, one day I'll be on a podcast.
That's true.
But he gave lots of contradictory accounts of his life. He claimed innocence at one point, and then later he said he was possessed by Satan.
Oh, wow.
And as we've covered, his propensity for lying made it difficult for researchers to ascertain the truth. He gets hanged out of prison for the murder of Pitzel, and until the moment of his death, he seemed very calm and wasn't showing any signs of anxiety or anything. But he had asked for his coffin to be contained in concrete and buried 10 feet down because he was concerned that grave robbers would steal his body. Yeah, use it for dissection.
Because there was also a period where people would put those big, like, metal cages over the graves, and they were right up. Because grave digging was a big thing, even by non...
Yes! If you're not in the
sadists.
Game.
Just people that actually were just in a strap for cash, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's true. Oh, also... This is another just random fact. In 2017, there were allegations that Holmes had escaped execution. In 2017, why?
Wow.
Right? So his body was exhumed for testing.
Oh.
But
did they grant his wish of being in a concrete coffin?
Yes.
Why?
Yeah.
Or maybe he paid for it with the £7,500 he got from them.
Maybe that's what that went on. Oh, we've solved something. So the University of Pennsylvania Museum of Archaeology and Anthropology. So because the coffin had indeed been contained in concrete, his body was found not to have decomposed normally. His clothes were almost perfectly preserved.
Whoa.
And his moustache was found to be intact.
Whoa, that's so
wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
And the body was positively identified by his teeth. And it's definitely Holmes. And then he was reburied.
Wow.
So wow. Weird. That's so interesting.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. And then the hotel was gutted by a fire that was set by anonymous people shortly after he was all arrested and hung, and two men were seen leaving the building. But it was then largely rebuilt, and it was used for something, which it is still used for today, but it was knocked down again and rebuilt, but it's still used for this thing. So question, what is the building used for now?
Oh, I think if it was I wouldn't want to go there if it was a hotel. That feels a bit much, doesn't it? So it's changed
museum.
Use.
Museum?
Yeah.
Hotel?
Theatre?
Theatre. You guys, it's a post office.
Oh.
Strange.
Okay.
Creepy.
I know. And then there's this whole thing about this guy arguing about what?
More like ghost office. That took me a long time.
That was very good. That
but
was
it was
joke.
Worth the wait. It's worth the wait.
Well, we don't have to debate what a serial killer is. So let's raise a glass to the Pinkertons and to not bullying people with skeletons.
Yeah.
Yeah, cheers. No bullying, please. No granddaddy.
No gagging.
No, yeah. Drunk women solving
crime. This crime was sent to us on Instagram by LJ Carter, and it's the mystery of the missing rabbit. My brother, sisters, and I always go home for Easter, and my mother insists on an Easter egg hunt. We humour her and traipse around the garden in our dressing gowns searching for the chocolate eggs. The Easter bunny... she has hidden. The year my aunties also visited and my mum put on an egg hunt for her three sisters, two of the three chocolate rabbits were found quickly. But after an hour or so of searching, the third rabbit couldn't be found. My mum can't remember where she's hidden it. To this day, we have not found the missing rabbit. Where is the chocolate bunny? Could it be a crime? Could it be a ghost? Could it be that we were useless at egg hunts? I ought to clarify that this egg hunt took place inside. The missing bunny is somewhere in the lounge kitchen area, so no possibility of it being eaten by wildlife. Is it still hiding in the house somewhere? This is a great mystery.
Do you know what's so funny? My mum, we used to get given so many chocolate eggs, and my mum, when we were younger, would be quite like strict about how much chocolate we would eat. So she would hide them and then forget. And literally years later, be like, oh, I've just found your Easter egg from Auntie Marion from 15 years ago. Like, she put them in the back of wardrobes behind scarves and stuff, because we would obviously bring a child, you would just eat like mainline 15 full-sized Easter eggs if they were in your vicinity. And we also would, like, me and my sisters would rummage around the house. So she got quite inventive.
One of my best memories was finding something that had been hidden too well, like that July or something. And it was
so
like
good.
A big chocolate bar. And I was just like, like I just sat in the corner like Gollum.
But to the point where I think my mum, none of us live at home, we're all like in our 30s, and she still hides stuff. And then it's like, shit, where did I put it? Who am I hiding it from? But it's like muscle memory. She's like, must hide the chocolate.
Like at Christmas this year, great. I remember like going into my mum and dad's room. My mum was like, don't come in. And she was just wrapping the presents.
It's
Mom,
okay.
I know what I've asked you for. Yeah. Like, it's okay. It's all right.
That's Santa.
I tell you what, though, I'm putting the blame on a child. I don't know. She doesn't say the ages of everybody that's been to the house, but if a child found that, that is a child has eaten it.
That's and if it's in a weird place, you just think, right, that's for me. That's true. I found that.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I think the mum's done an amazing hiding place.
You think it's still
or
there?
Or it's been kicked. So, like, she's hidden it behind a door or something. Someone's, like, kicked it. It's gone under a skirt. Or something with a skirt.
Ooh,
you wouldn't look under. I think it's
actually,
in the house.
This could be a Pixar short.
You know what? If it's been, like, knocked into, like, a box.
Yeah.
And then that box has been taken somewhere. It could have been put in the loft. Or it could be in a new location in someone else's house.
This happens to me. Like, every day I put my glasses down somewhere. And the next thing you know, they're, like, in a toilet roll holder thing. I'm like, how? So.
And also, what I do as well is I never, because I have terrible eyesight, and like when I take my contacts out, I never find my glasses before I take them out.
Yes,
so I just every night we do the dance. So I'm like, Toby, come on, glasses. And often, yeah, they'll be by the bath.
I've even bought myself little like dishes where I'm like, this is for your keys, this is for your earrings. And then I like do it once, and I'm like, God, I'm so proud of myself. And then I just never remember again. I have to go through all my pockets. I think the bunny's in the house. That being said,
yeah,
if it has been in the house, I'm sure that a mice has eaten it.
So it could still be a Disney. It's either Pixar or Disney.
Yes.
Going with.
I'm slightly like, did they have a dog that died afterwards? Do you know what I mean? If the dog got it.
She doesn't mention that.
That would be quite a big.
Yeah, by the way, had a dog die
that
shortly after.
That talking about Kevin MacLeod, there was an episode that I was watching of Grand Designs yesterday, and the family were like, it was awful, we lost our like family dog. And he was like, oh no, so the garden is absolutely no reaction. I was like, oh my God, and these people were like real dog people, and he could not give a shit.
Yeah, that's great.
So the one when they had two like St. Bernards?
No, they weren't St. Bernards, but they bought the house in Cornwall that used to be a mill.
Right, no. Oh, yeah, all I know right. The one, because he was so rude on that episode. Anyway,
yes,
we'll
so
do
rude.
Our podcast about that soon.
I think it could have been a child. We think it might have still be there somewhere.
Yes.
anything to add, you guys?
No, I think it's hidden, but please let us know when you find it. Like, even if it's in 20 years, let
us
know. You've
got to write back. thank you for bringing that to us. We were the right people for this case. Now, we have just enough time to ask Oenone Forbat, what are you up to? Where can we find more about you?
The only thing that I have that's, you know, I have my family, but no. The things I have to plug. So I have a new podcast called Everything is Content, which is a pop culture podcast.
I've been listening to that.
Have you?
Yeah,
oh, that's so
I
nice.
I really like it.
Oh, thank you. That's really kind. I'm actually recording it after this.
Big podcast day.
Big podcast day. And then you can always buy my book called Bad Influence, Reflections on a Life Lived Online.
I've actually read that as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're so nice.
I've actually done some research.
Thank you. I mean, the book, it's everyone's like, God, I just got through it in a day. It's like, because you just so compulsive to read, it's just really short. It's just not long.
You know, it was really interesting, like, window and insight into the whole world of, you know, hustling and getting in with PRs and like building everything up.
So is it like a memoir?
Yes. I know, I'm too young to have written a memoir, but you know,
no, I
like,
love it. It's really interesting, it's basically
just about how I accidentally became an influencer and then like what the industry is kind of like from the inside. But it's so weird because it's like I've started writing like 3 years ago, now it's been out for you. I'm like, I don't know. I'm a different person now. So I want to write fiction. I'm like, I don't like writing things that I have to stick to. It's true. People change.
So. Love that.
But anyway, read it.
Yes. Yeah, it's really good.
Thank you. Aww. Well, I've loved this.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us.
All right, let's give it up for Oenone Forbat.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.